This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, December 1st, 2010.
It's 12:18 p.m. And are there any late additions to the agenda? Okay, then we'll start right off. We have Gilbert Delgado, the university architect, here with us, who is going to give us a presentation and an update on where we are with the means restrictions.
Great. Thank you. Tim Marshall, who's our mental health professional that has been my partner in terms of this whole effort, couldn't make it today. And if he were here, what he would talk about is that means restriction is just one part of a multi spectrum effort help our students understand that there's outreach available for folks that are depressed or troubled. So my particular charge was that given that the experts that came out after the unfortunate instance of this past spring, that means restriction was something that we had to employ and we had to pursue, was how do we do it in a way that is done as thoughtfully as possible? And that's what I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about today, just that particular little slice of the entire effort in terms of trying to address the situation. Next slide. So,
it doesn't look like that right now.
Much false advertising.
Brown or red now. I just walked across it.
Almost immediately after, we had this past spring, we put up a chain link fence, seen as almost a tourniquet, just to stop. We were advised that it was part of a contagion or an epidemic that, in fact, was probably being propagated by, Facebook, Twitter, those types of things, and whatever it was, we had to stop it. There were, a fair number of events. So we put something up quickly, but almost immediately, David Scorton asked myself and actually Kent Klein with the AA, dean of AAP, to actually investigate: is there a more elegant way to do this, to resolve this? To at one point also to encumber the use of bridges as a means to suicide, but do it in a way that doesn't impact the scenery, in a way that hopefully is artful. And that's what this is primarily about. So the objective was, and if we were to put it into a mission statement, was to develop an effective and artful design that minimizes impact to the spectacular views of the surrounding areas. Next slide. So this is the timeline. I'm trying to do here is explain what's the role of the black fences versus the chain link fences and what comes afterwards. Because I'm talking to several folks throughout the campus, I'm not sure that people have an understanding as to what that all is, and this will actually hopefully explain that. Okay, so back in the spring, we immediately put up chain link fencing, and we consulted with three experts of in this topic of suicide prevention, and what they advised was that we need means restriction, and that we should keep the fencing up to mitigate any additional occurrence. Next slide. But immediately, with the director for President Scorton, we determined that we would select an imaginative designer to work on a more thoughtful solution. But that this we would select them, and then the actual design and approval will probably take a year or more. Right? By the time that you get consensus, the time that you get municipal approval, those types of things. That will take about a year, and then even construction will take a little bit further. So we have this period of time, and no one liked the chain link fencing, the community, the campus. But we have to do something between this period of time and this period of time here. Next slide. And this is where we actually came up with the black fences. What we did was we looked in something that was off the shelf, readily available, that can be put up quickly. Right? But that would be better than the chain link fence as a holding idea until we actually came up with more thought out solution. Next one.
So we looked around the world, and we looked at how means restriction was being addressed in different... this is not a brand new topic, it's one that's being addressed worldwide. The problem, though, is that a lot of the bridges that are, for example, iconic, like the Golden Gate Bridge, are large, you know, very spectacular structures. You can put, and they're not doing it in San Francisco, but if you were to put a 6-foot fence, it wouldn't be as large an impact as if you put a 6-foot fence on something here. So we have a different situation. We have 7 smaller bridges where every one of them has a special kind of personality and placement. So we looked around the world and didn't really see any examples that were directly applicable. We could say, you did that well over there, can you do that over here? San Francisco, by the way, which is the number one, the Golden Gate Bridge, the most lethal bridge for the suicide, is building a $40 million stainless steel net beneath it. And that's how they're approaching the problem. So when we went out to look for a designer or architect or landscape architect, what we basically looked at it without the preconceptions of saying, let's find someone that's done this before, because no one's done it before successfully in our eyes. So what we did was we had a very open solicitation. We didn't frame it as a civil engineering problem or security problem. The language is very open, and the emphasis was on creativity. And what we were particularly looking at were firms that had a demonstrated track record on taking a complex problem and coming up with an unexpected solution that addressed more than just the problem, but that in itself transcended the problem. Next slide. And the firm that we selected was a firm out of Boston called Office Da. We interviewed 4 or 5 firms. It was a joint committee with a member from the city of Ithaca. So half the bridges are owned by Ithaca, half are owned by Cornell. So we had them as a team member during the selection. And here you can see this is an example of one of their houses that, yeah, it's very simple, wood siding, but the way that it's cut, the way that it's textured is something that's unexpected, and turns something that's conceivably mundane into something that's actually wonderful. Next slide. So how do we structure this inquiry? And this is the next part. I mean, given that we have the right architect, right, you understand that the black fences are only there for a period of time until we actually come up with this solution. There are 7 bridges, but if you were to take a look at them, they kind of fall into 3 different buckets in terms of different ways to look at them. One is the pedestrian bridges that are very light and airy, and they would be treated in a certain way. Secondly, there's the vehicular bridges that are heavier, the Clifton Avenue Bridge, the Stewart Avenue bridges, heavier, bigger, which probably require a different strategy. And by itself, in a special category, is the Stone Arch Bridge, because it has specific responsibility in terms of it being itself an iconic bridge. It's built differently than all the other bridges. Its location on campus is very special. So what we're going to do is, for those 3 different bridge types, we're going to look at 3 different ways to solve this problem. And why do we do that? So that we don't jump to any preconception that this is the only way to do it. So we're able to demonstrate, well, what if you did it as you do in San Francisco with a net underneath? What if you did it with plexiglass or a glass, you know, what if you did it with a, or an inflatable system or something that we can't even imagine, like a car seat thing, you know, airbag. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but there are things that are out there. I used to work for the government, and one of the things that we had to put a setback to major federal buildings. Well, at first, you know, there was the idea of putting bollards around the courthouse to keep, let's say, a car bomb from getting too close to it. But there were other interesting ideas. For example, what happens if a car comes in and the ground collapses? And, you know, so you wouldn't have the ugly thing, which would have this a car in a ditch blowing up in a hole somewhere. You know, so there are ways to actually think of the problem more creatively. So we're taking 3 different paths at the 3 different basic types of bridges. And then we're going to price them. We're going to have a cost estimate for each one. And then we'll sit down and decide what is it that we want to do. Next slide. So the way that this is structured in terms of a collaborative design process
is we're here right now. We've just completed the site analysis. And what that's about is to take a look at the different bridges in the site and document what's there. You know, what, you know, what's the vegetation, what are the dimensions of what we're looking at, and that type of thing. Have a review of that stuff, and then we're going to begin, and we're beginning this now, is doing three different pre-schematics per bridge type. We're going to sit down and review them with the city and ourselves, and then we are going to have to make a decision as to what are we going to do with each one of those bridges, and then we'll design those through what's called schematic design, which basically tells you what it's going to look like. You know, it's not fully engineered, but it's you'll know what it looks like and how much it will cost. And then that will be presented to the trustees and the city of Ithaca for approval. Now, all this has to happen per an agreement that we have with the city by May 20th, 2011. And then after that, then we'll actually, when we get that approval, we will continue with finishing off the drawings, putting it out to bid, and then building. Next slide. And that's pretty much it. I mean, that's what I tried to describe to you was what have you seen so far, which is the chain link fences, the black fences, what we plan to do next, what is the logistics of how we're going to pull that off, and what kind of architect we've selected, and what is the overall process for discussion and collaboration.
Gilbert, will there be opportunities for the campus community to kind of see the three designs and kind of weigh in on them in some way?
Sure, absolutely. There are the two major milestones for public input is at the end of the pre-schematic phase, when we actually have the three different variations, which is in itself a process drawing, right? A process submittal. We will roll that out in a very big way. We will actually reach out to the community, we'll reach out on campus, we will notify people, there will be a public presentation, and there'll be the actual submittals will be on the website, the Caring Communities website, I believe it. And then there'll be an opportunity for you to log in comments and all that. I can't say that you will see every comment directly addressed, because, you know, there'll be comments that contradict each other, right? I mean, you know, I like this. No, I don't like this. you know. But the purpose of that is to kind of get a more global view in terms of what are some of the sentiments out there, in terms of people that have something to say regarding what they're seeing. Okay.
So what you just showed us, is that up on a website?
I believe there's a longer presentation of this on the website.
So it's on the Caring Community website.
Yeah, and how to get to the... I haven't succeeded myself yet to get to that point. I understand that it is up. And I think the portal is the Caring Community website. I think what you have to go is Caring Community and then Means Description. Okay. And then that's where things are.
Would it be okay for us to, we do an employee assembly email newsletter that goes
sure.
out. Would it be okay for us to maybe link to that?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. In fact, the reason why I'm here is that we do have a Cornell/Ithaca working committee that does meet roughly about once a month or so, basically to just chart progress. But in terms of a larger reach, it was two big milestones. But we were concerned that the word wasn't getting out. There was a lot of you know, folks didn't fully understand. I mean, I've talked with folks, students on campus. Some believe the black fences are it. Yeah. They don't really fully understand the effort going on. They didn't really fully understand the chain link. What was the role of the chain link fences? And so that's what we're here for. And if Tim were here, he would show you that this is just part of a larger, more comprehensive way to look at mental health.
Has there been any talk about like how far down the gorges these barriers will run from the bridges?
Oh, yeah, there has been. There's this discussion about that. You know, there's the abutments, and then it does continue. The gorges don't stop at the bridges. The question, though, is that right now it's being done with these black chain link fences. We barely have the money to do it right on the bridges, right? So what we want to do is focus in these particular areas that are very, very visible to many, many people, right? And then what we're calling it is to say, and it might not be the same place for every bridge, that it does continue beyond the abutment somewhat, but you got to find a stopping point, otherwise it'll be going down all the way down the gorge. And the thing is, what we may use on the bridges might be materials like stainless steel, you know, that are much more costly.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, then we would probably do in a more hidden part down the gorge that basically asks to protect you from falling. This is a very, plus the statistics, there have been people that have jumped off the sides, but I think the majority do jump off, you know, they pick the bridges because they're iconic. They want some meaning in that last minute or something. Second.
Other questions?
Hi.
Hello, hi.
Is this mean instruction study available for the students or is only
Available? No, this is available for everyone.
For everyone.
And this is the website, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Now, so
oh, you did just now. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Go to the study documents. Let me see. So I don't know, presentation to the City of Ithaca. Well, that might be it. That's the one by the architect that they developed. But you know, so yeah, so it's there.
For the students also.
This is for everyone.
Okay, because so there will be the students will know, you know, there will be more awareness of the study.
In fact this week, the day before yesterday, we spoke to the graduate student committee, the council, assembly, and then I think we're talking to the faculty senate later on this week. So we're doing this week to hit other venues because we are concerned that the coherent message isn't coming up. People are reacting to I hate the fences, I don't want them there, and you know, we don't like the fences either. But we are trying to do something much better, and I think that message isn't getting out.
So these barriers probably obviously will complement the structures that are already there, as opposed to like we're not going to replace any bridges just to accommodate.
Oh no, we're not going to replace any bridges. But for example, one of the thoughts the architect did have, for example, is that the BB Lake Bridge, for example, the handrails are about, you know, this high and they have the spikes and all that. It wouldn't really be that big a deal. And this is just, you know, just an exploratory thought. To take them out, unbolt them, and then put something, you know, like one thing would be like they have these very fine stainless steel meshes that you can't see between, let's say, here and the end of that wall. You know? So, you know, could there be something less aggressive looking, but higher, in fact is more transparent? So, you know, that kind of exploration, it might be the type of things that we look at. Some examples, for example, Thurston Avenue Bridge, the stuff that happens above the bridge is very substantial, you know, the arch and all that. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to find some way to actually complement all those things and hopefully bring them maybe into better harmony than even as they're now.
Other questions or thoughts? Well, thank you, Gilbert.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. So the next thing on our agenda is the Executive Vice Chair resolution, and it looks like 9. We have enough people to vote on that. So I don't know if anybody has had any other thoughts on the resolution that we looked at last meeting. Do we want to just vote, or do we want to? Okay.
Motion to vote.
All right.
Second.
Look at that. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And we also have ayes from
yeah.
Everyone. So 9 who are here. Wait, yeah, 9 who are here. And
Gemma.
Well, Gemma's 9. Gemma's nine. Nine. And then I've got affirmative from Gary and Jason.
That makes 11.
Mm-hmm. So no nays, because there's no one here to say nay.
Who motioned to vote? Linda?
Curtis motioned, Linda seconded. This, that was easy. So next we're supposed to talk about the membership expansion. Do we want to move that to the end of our meeting so that we don't run out of time to talk about other stuff, since that will probably be the thing we talk the most about? So then we don't have a trustee report. Beth is not here today. She said that the trustees are meeting next week, so she'll have something to report at our next meeting. Middle States report feedback. Did anyone have any comments?
They're sitting on my desk.
Okay.
But there was one thing that I thought was really interesting that I do remember.
Okay.
And that is that Chairman Meinig, the chair of the Board of Trustees, according to the report, meets with the SA and with all the other groups except this one on an annual basis.
You
and
know,
it just is this thing that made me go, hmm.
I don't know what meeting is this referring to.
Well, I don't know that.
In the Middle States report,
it says that he meets with them, with the Faculty Senate, with the SA, I think. I can't remember the details. I just remember that we were not listed as a group with which he meets.
I'm not aware of the meeting aside from the opportunity to address the Board of Trustees, which
happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that could be an error.
That could be an error.
Okay.
I mean, it should definitely be pursued, but it would just be an oversight.
Okay.
Okay. So who would we pursue that with? Would we go back to the Middle States? Both and ask them if that's correct or incorrect.
So Ken Hubble?
Or Moran. I can ask Moran about it.
Yeah. Does anyone else have any comments on those things? Did anybody get a chance to read it besides Leslie?
I didn't get all the way through it. I got part of the way through it. It's long. It's very long.
Mm-hmm. And in the EAE news, Leslie has something in there about providing feedback so we may get some other people who need it. Take a look. Anything else in Middle States? Friday morning, 9 a.m. here, our meeting with President Scorton. We've given him two topics, one of them being just an update on the strategic plan and where the Bain piece fits into the strategic plan. And the other is to ask him where he sees the EA going forward at the sesquicentennial. Where he sees us, what his past experiences have been, and just basically talking EA in general. So that will be our discussion. And there will be coffee and something, right?
We'll have refreshments provided.
Okay.
Is it here in this room?
It's here in this room.
I know, me too. They're on their way. The roads are closed.
There's some roads closed?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a flash flooding.
Wow.
There's many ways to get here.
So they're not coming, and she says that's on their way.
Okay. Hopefully they'll get here before we're done, before it's totally cold.
I don't know if there's a better
place. I can go out on
them. I'm getting smart fires.
Let's just quickly report from the chair. I don't have anything of major news to report other than we're still looking for members for the Transportation Advisory Committee. So I don't know if anybody's had a chance to throw that out to their colleagues, but we need two people.
I did speak with someone, but she needs to wait and see what her spring semester schedule looks like.
Their next meeting is December 15th, and they really, really are eager to have someone on the staff. And Catherine received an email from
Amato.
So maybe you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I just know she was very late. She had a friend who also had
issued a complaint earlier in the summer, and she's finally, you know, got the time to write email. So I did write her back and asked if she'd be interested in her
But the issue that she had written about is she's a rideshare person, and what I understand is that if you rideshare, you share one permit, but you also get scratch-off passes, but those scratch passes are not in the same location that your permit's in,
right.
So you have to actually park further away.
Yeah, much further.
So that's an issue, and you know, it's a good point of saying, you know, we're doing the right thing by ride sharing, and yet we're penalized when we both have to drive in. So
well, yeah, I have since last week. I have a ride share, and last week we had to drive separate 3 days, and so I didn't have the permit. So I, you know, 3 days I had to park, you know.
Yeah, the lots
in,
are just
Timbuktu.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So,
and we're all, you know, we all share the cost of the permit equally, so it's not really fair.
So if you know anyone who's very passionate about that and wants to be on that committee, they meet the third Wednesday of each month from 2 to 3, so that would be really hard for anyone in this group because it's pretty much right after our meeting. But if you know anyone, let me know. I'm going to go on to the minutes. Everyone wants to take a minute to look them over quickly, and then Lefty, you can give us your...
I have comments.
Oh, right!
I didn't get through them.
You want to throw your email?
Do we typically put... I think last meeting that Ned LaSalle was here, who's our EA rep to the UA.
Okay.
I don't... Do we usually put...
Yeah.
I didn't know whether we should.
Yeah.
Okay, so we put that.
Well, and does Beth get listed as a member or as a also attending? Because she's listed as a member.
Oh, yeah, we can move
her. I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
This was a question.
Yes, she ought to be under also attending.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was here in spirit, but not body, so.
Are you credited with being? Oh, you're credited with being here.
So there were just some clarification things on the UA Sustainability Committee. It said that I was looking for an image for sustainability. It wasn't me. What I reported was that we had passed a resolution in support of the development of a CU image for sustainability. I'll just do this too.
Okay.
Right. And then I wrote that we also discussed Cornell's participation in STARS and that the EA may be most interested because there's an employee engagement part of STARS, which I think is important to let employees know that they're being factored into sustainability. And then just the other thing, it wasn't six people around campus that contacted me. I had just said several people had contacted me regarding a recent situation. So I just didn't want to make it sound like six people had applied for the grant.
Mm-hmm.
It was that they had contacted me about one situation. So those are the clarifications I'll just give you.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, by the way, the employee right before the Thanksgiving holiday.
I was going to ask if you got contacted.
Okay. And wasn't here. So,
the
new award level.
Good.
The
one who had the fire like the day before Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
So, yeah, we are moving along with the, we have a draft that we've submitted now to Lynette of the full details. And Gemma's on the committee, so, of the award, and I know we had talked about it upping the award, and we were looking at the new award cap being $2,500 per incident, and so that's what the employee had requested, and we were really, really happy that we were able to grant that. We've got almost a complete committee together. We're just still looking for a faculty member, so if anyone knows a faculty member who might be a good committee member for the CARE fund, that would be really helpful to us. But we have a group together now, and we should have the guidelines and everything together for you guys to take a look at before they become absolutely final. We're just waiting to hear back from Lynette on the final guidelines. And Beth McKinney has been wonderful in helping to move that along and getting those drafted. Plus, we have an updated application draft too that we plan to put out there. So it's moving right along.
We can put that in the newsletter when it gets together.
Yes, I'm wondering if. Thursday is the date that we're looking to have it go out. If it can be
Let me think. You'll have it together. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We won't have it online.
So we'll make sure we let the HR people know that, because these are the ones who usually hear. As soon as it's approved, we'll send something out to the HR community so that they're aware, because they're the ones who usually hear when there's somebody in need when they first come.
Do you need a faculty member and a staff member?
We have a staff member. We just need a faculty member.
Okay.
And Gemma's our EA. Thanks, Gemma.
No problem.
Does anyone else have any notes for the minutes? Because we didn't get those finished. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the minutes with Linda's corrections.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Leslie, do you want to talk about communication?
Sure. So the latest EAE news I sent around to everybody, I got some comments back on the draft, but if you have anything else, give it to me very soon, because I'm going to get it to Ari this afternoon. And he's going to get it out tomorrow, because there's information in it that pertains to the United Way that's this weekend. So if you have anything you'd like to add, please send it to me right after the meeting. And I have some copies here. I don't know if I'll get them now. So it's not including the changes people sent me. That's just the one I sent around. So the communications committee met yesterday. We had a really good meeting. We're talking about carrying on the work of the survey that was started last year. So a survey, just trying to find out what people know about the EA, how they receive information about the EA, how they'd like to receive information, if they're interested in participating, that type of thing. So we're in the process of working on that. I will send out the questions we have gathered as of right now, and people can comment on those. And two members of the committee are writing a communication plan to get that in effect.
Leslie, have you talked with Mary Opperman about getting access to staff?
Well, I haven't, but when we issued the same staff list we used for the EA news,
I guess we could. My understanding, I had a conversation with institutional research yesterday about upcoming surveys. And
mm-hmm.
I had mentioned that there is talk of doing an all-staff quality of life survey. Not exactly
climate,
quality of life, climate survey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just staff, though, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they just completed the faculty one.
Oh, okay.
There's a staff one coming up. Not scheduled yet.
Who's doing this?
It's coming out of Mary's office, but it's being written by institutional research. But they're not working on it right now. It's something that David has, I mean, it's in the strategic plan, so it's something that we have a commitment to doing,
right.
But there isn't a date yet when it's scheduled to happen. So anyway, in the course of the conversation that I had, I was reminded that Mary is reluctant to do a whole lot of sending out of things to staff, particularly if we're going to be burdening them with surveys, and if there's another one coming up soon. So we just need to be mindful of that and keep her in the loop.
Couldn't we just, couldn't we do it maybe through the EA news
mm-hmm.
and just link out to the survey? Or maybe we wouldn't have a that
we
have a good response that way.
We've done it before. You actually have a prize, and you had to do it
right.
Anonymously and guarantee that the names are not used, but to get people to participate,
right.
And then there's prizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
You could embed a newsletter.
We could either do that, or we could try to do something in conjunction with Mary's office.
I don't know how long I'm going to wait. The idea behind really getting the survey going is to... So we can use it as we're in the process of this expansion. You know, I think it's really good information to have as we're trying to
measure the next few years.
Yeah.
We can ask the question. I mean, we'll have Mary here on Friday with President Gorton, and we're going to be talking about the EA, so we can bring that up there. And then Leslie and I are also meeting with her next week. So if it doesn't
right.
get resolved in here, we could
okay.
bring it to her in that meeting.
I mean, there's options. We can do it through the EA news. I mean, it would be nice if if it went out by itself, I think, only because sometimes people are like, oh, I'm not really interested in that in the EA news. And they don't even know if there's a survey in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So something to consider. But I don't think we want to wait for the climate. I mean, that wasn't a thought. We talked about that at a meeting, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that survey is imminent because I was on the original team that was.
Yeah. But it could be. I mean, somebody could decide today that it's going to happen in the spring, and it has to happen. But yeah, I know that the conversation has been, that hasn't happened.
I could actually ask too because, like I said, I was part of the original team with Marin, and Lisa Nishi from ILR was also on it to say, you know, we had recommended waiting because of what was going on.
Right.
And so I can just kind of send a signal out to see where they are with it if we're going to talk about it again.
Great.
Because I know that's something that Company Support and definitely wants to be doing. I think it's a very good practice.
Mm-hmm. Hello, is the call?
And then based on what we decide to go forth with, on our expansion plan, the communications group will be working on a communication plan, at least for election. And if we're going to do any whatever sort of expansion we decide on, you know, we'll need to let people know what's going on about that. What are the communication plan around that? And we're going to meet again second week of January.
Thank you. Do you want to announce the winners of our fabulous prizes?
They're listed in here. Can I borrow this? Because I forgot. Again, I just have completely unprepared today. Sorry about that. So we did the drawing for the prizes after the president's address, and we had 12 winners, 10 winners. Lisa Betcher from Building Care. And Lenore Caspin from CAU got a short center ticket. Quite a few people got women's hockey tickets. Walter Bardroff from Hans Beda Dining. Barbara Friedman from CIT. Rodney Beatty from Robert Purcell. And Marianne Williams from Campus Life Marketing. And then men's hockey tickets, Judy Wickey, Fiber Science and Apparel Design, and Jane Miller from the Baker Institute. Patricia Schaefer won Coffee with President Scorton, and Barbara Romano won Lunch with Mary.
Thanks, Cooper.
Yeah, and people were very excited to get their prizes.
Did you hear back from the United Way about how successful we were in getting 12? We got 12 new pledges.
That's pretty good.
That's great. I'll take 12.
Yes.
Next year, 24.
Exactly.
We will double everywhere.
But that's just so many people who haven't already.
Well, yeah.
For 12 new people.
For new people who
at that been. Event.
Did we ever hear back about our resolution about the means restriction?
Yes. And he, what did he say? I'll forward it to you, but essentially he said it was great and he really appreciated the EA support of it.
Okay, so then what do we do with that? Is what I'm wondering. So we do the resolution and then he gives it and he's like, that's great. And now, what do we do with that?
Well, it wasn't really
an action item thing. It was it was more of a saying that as employees we support what they're doing.
We're here if they need us, basically, right?
Right.
For education or counseling.
I wonder if we, I don't know, just wonder if we should codify that in some way.
When I send it to the president. The way that we send it goes, like the essay gets copied on it, the UA, the
PCSA. Well, they have to work it into the newsletter when I send the information about
the means, right.
The presentation.
And Lindsay, do you want to talk about going into new business, Keep and Hope?
The Keep and Hope program. Janet had said that in the past that the EA has.
A letter of the EA supports it.
Okay, so I don't know if we want to do that.
Because Leon needs to come, and maybe Amy and Ari, you might know more about this, but the EA doesn't financially support Soup and Hope. We essentially just say we support the idea of.
Do we send a letter formally to Janet just saying that we support it? Because she had said that she had not yet gotten our support for the year. So I was trying to understand what she...
I just remember last year Leon coming in and saying the EA, you know, does the EA support this?
Right. So I think she just wants, maybe we just need to send a letter to her saying that we're going to continue supporting. So she has provided us with the dates, and they now have all the speakers. I probably should make a copy of this, I'm sorry, of her email that she sent. But they do have all the dates and all the speakers set in place, and I thought that they're all going to be held on Thursday from 12:15 to 1 at Sage. I thought it would be nice if we could commit to now one or two Thursdays that we would be willing to go over and serve soup. I think last year when we went over, it almost felt like, I don't want to say there were too many of us, but in a way.
There were.
I mean, you could always... So I thought maybe it would be nice if we could choose 2 days and then part of us can go on one day and part can go on another day.
Because I don't know that everybody might have their calendar and everything in front of them. Maybe if you can email the dates to us and we can
choose which ones. Maybe at the next meeting.
If people can just email and say these dates work better for me than others and then the majority.
And then we can send a note to Janet and say we're going to continue to, you know, we want to continue to support and here are 2 dates we'd like to serve food. Okay, so how about if I do that? I'll forward to everybody the dates and who the speakers are going to be so that you can see that. And I think that it's actually going to be in the newsletter that's going out because Janet was able to send me everything in time to be able to get it into the newsletter. Actually, are the dates in the newsletter?
The first one is.
Oh, okay, the first one's in the newsletter. So I'll send that.
Can I refer to the website?
So I should send it out to the EA
list
overall. Okay, so I'll send that to everybody. And then if everybody can just cross-reference calendars and maybe say choose 2 dates with the understanding that, you know, or the commitment would be 1 day. If you can do at least 1 day, that would be very helpful. To choose maybe 2 dates, then that way we can come up with 2 dates overall.
Okay.
Okay, I know they're greatly appreciated.
No, I'm sorry, we're supposed to pick 2 dates that we're interested in going to?
2 dates that could work on your calendar.
And then you'll pick which dates work for the most people.
Right, and then you'll just choose 1 date that would work for you to actually go and volunteer. Yeah.
Is there any other new business before we get into the expansion stuff?
I've been thinking about something. I know I've, like, last year, this year, I talked to Mary a couple of times about potentially starting to charge people to park in the free lots, like A lot and B lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pretty vague about it. I just think that, like, if that happens, like, let's say in the spring, they're going to try to start charging people. Like what the EA's stance will be on that, because there's this new $100 million incentive to bring in new faculty, right? $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
I think that new construction has started again. I guess Warren Hall has some new clothes and then the classrooms. I mean, so you know, because new construction was on hold for a while, and we pretty much didn't get raises this year or last year. So I think with all of the money that the university is spending on top of us not getting raises, on top of charging us for parking, I would freak out, for one. I think it's really unfair and just ridiculous, and I think if they're going to do that, they should at least compensate us twice the amount of what they would charge us for parking, or at least give us a raise to cover the charge of parking. You know what I mean?
But I mean, this might not even happen, but for some reason it's been on my mind lately, and I just think the EA should be ready to fight the university on charging people with the park.
Maybe you should be on the transportation committee.
I was thinking
that. Wait,
legitimate concern, but without knowing what's being proposed or when it's proposed, I don't think
there is a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't believe that the EA has appointed any members to the Transportation Advisory Committee yet, but that's where the employee voice for transportation would be, so...
Okay.
David, are you volunteering?
It's every third Wednesday.
Every third Wednesday. So their next meeting is December 15th. And then they don't meet again until February. Then there's just four meetings in the spring.
I would just be a staff representative, or could I be like an EA / staff representative?
You would be the EA's representative.
Okay.
And basically the EA can send two representatives to the Transportation Advisory Committee, whether they're on the EA or not. So essentially you would be that person.
Okay. Where?
B16 Day Hall, so you would leave this and go down
there.
So am I putting you down,
well,
David?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I will.
Good job.
Okay.
I would have done it, because I feel strongly about transportation issues, but now I'm on the benefits committee, so.
I hope that, you know, they don't do that. But, you know.
You never know. It may be a possibility, because they're looking at changing parking structures, and I know they just took away my lot. And
I know.
Right.
Well, you know, along with that, I just feel like if they can spend $100 million for new faculty, they can at least come up with, say, $25 million to divide equally among the staff to give us all raises. It's a fraction.
You know, it's interesting, David, because Mary, Leslie and I were talking with Mary at our last meeting about, you know, giving more money for education, this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, she was saying that we can look at a lot of things, but they're already trying to, like, they could have increased, what would she say, they could have increased the health insurance cost by
another 9% or something.
Another 9% on top of the 6%.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
right.
Using that other 9% and only giving us 6%.
But is that really even that fee? I mean, like, we're doing our job, and that's part of the benefit of working here.
Yeah, but there's still a cost involved. And so human resources is incurring the cost instead of putting it onto us.
No.
Because the cost of the insurance goes up.
Yeah, but we're self-insured.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one of the things might be looking at maybe outsourcing it. Maybe we
right.
did. So, but I mean, I don't think that it's a fair statement just when people say you should be happy, because I think the staff are doing their job. And it's an expectation that we get a reasonable salary, we get a reasonable benefit. I don't think staff are asking. So I think when people say you should be quiet because we're not giving you more, I don't think
that. I'm just saying that it could be much worse than what it is.
It is getting pretty prohibitive.
I know.
I mean, because 6% increase. And last year, I did look, our premiums did go up. Our co-pays went up.
Our co-pays up.
Not our premiums, but our co-pays, and then our co-pays are going up again this year, along with the premium increase, and they're just talking about people got this SIP. That's
right.
Not a raise.
No. But, you know, that's something, again, when Mary's here, maybe we add that into our conversation.
But we're not, I never understood that, because I thought we're not allowed to talk about salaries.
We're not allowed to lobby for individual salaries, or, you know, saying, oh, how come administrative people at Arts and Sciences get paid this, but administrative people in the hotel school get paid this? You know, we can't in that way, but I think just talking about the fact that all of these costs keep rising, but yet compensation is not increasing in the same way, is something that we can talk about because it's very global.
Mm-hmm.
As our HR person shakes her head.
I think that's true.
So we can ask the question. But I think the parking thing is in... Excellent point.
Yeah.
And I think it's only a matter of time before they do start charging for those jobs.
I guess we tried once before, and that's what the gates are actually for. Like, have you noticed
mm-hmm.
there's like old, really old gates, but people freaked out and they didn't do it. So.
Well, I don't understand why, like, they changed the tier.
for like your parking lot, and now nobody parks there. There's literally like two empty parking lots where they were full.
They're filling up now. Fill up later in the day. But what they were able to do is up that parking lot to an HH, so every person who said, oh crap, I'm going to have to park even further away, I'm going to pay the HH, so now you're paying the same price to park in the same space. You're paying more to park in the same space.
Right.
So. Okay. Anyway, you digress. So I don't know if everyone picked up the, Amy, you made copies, right? Of the little grid?
Uh-huh.
Of the little grid. Did everyone get one of those? Around the table. Ari went through and kind of put together a very basic grid for us, just with the different issues surrounding the EA expansion, what it would look like if we went by the per unit representation model, what would it look like by the exempt, non-exempt, at-large model, and then what our current practice is. Just to kind of give us an idea and a point for discussion. So, Ari, thank you for putting that together for us. So, I don't know if anyone has had any thoughts since we met last, if anybody had an opportunity to look at those websites that I kind of threw out there. There's a lot of information on them. But for the most part, what I noticed a lot of them is they were all larger than we are, some of them very large, and they're all structured somewhat differently. And I think, you know, that just kind of depends on the organization. So I don't know if anybody else had thoughts about those websites, if you can look at them. Or I was just impressed in general about what they're doing.
So. It almost put us in mind as more of an informing body instead of a governing body as compared to others. It seems to be more, being larger immediately. I guess, you know, and part of that, I guess, is in being involved in the committees. I mean, it's great that it's going to be involved in that committee because getting out ahead of the issues. We're informed, we're told about the issues, but by the time, you know, we kind of get it as a body, it's in place, it's in motion.
Right.
If you look at the timeline, it's been going on for months. So at the committee level, you can actually get out ahead. You know, having more members is going to help do that. So obviously, for all tax time, we'll have more people to get into the committee. Those websites
were
great, though. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry it took me so long to get them out to everyone. So does anyone, what are people's thoughts just in looking at the grid Ari put together? I mean, I think the one comment that I want to say here is in the bottom where it says how members will be appointed. You know, yes, there's some responsibility vested in the various units to kind of produce someone, but I also kind of feel like that's a way to put pressure on some entity when there is no one there. Whereas right now, it's just kind of a hoping that people will come, but there's no one to pressure if nobody shows up.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear on this. Are we still holding general elections in the per unit representation?
What we would,
I
yes,
mean,
there
general,
would be.
But we're still
right.
Holding university-wide elections all at the same time.
Yes.
And the ballot.
I think there wasn't there a way if we went by the nodes, the HR nodes, that we could parcel out.
In theory, yes, but one of the things we were finding looking at that practically is we would have 33 different elections, whereas right now we have one election.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty two different setups that would have to be done.
Okay.
Now, I guess 16 every year, 16 or 17, but that is
a
significant challenge, and you know, all the time is spent setting up those elections, and that won't be spent on outreach or just the same communication.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure how feasible that actually
is. No, I mean, that's good to know. I didn't, you know, we didn't know exactly how that technology piece would work.
I don't understand. How do we know it's most difficult when we've never done it? Just because of the, you have to set it up.
I would, I mean, My guess would be this. It would be most difficult, and Ari may have some thoughts as he put that together, but my thought on it being most difficult is it's a completely different way of doing it than we have in the past, which means there's going to be a lot more upfront legwork. Now, 10 years from now, it may not be any more difficult than any way we've ever done it, but right now it would be more difficult just in trying to reach out to the different groups and to make them aware and educate them. The way that we're doing it now and the exempt, non-exempt, at large model, I would say that those are equally, in my mind, they would be equally difficult just because you're basically just trying to get 19 warm bodies as opposed to 13 warm invested bodies, you know.
How does faculty send it to? Because when I was looking at their site, there's, in some cases, multiple representation from a certain school unit. Are they voted in? Are they nominated in? How does that?
Actually, we've never looked at faculty sending it, just because they're supported by a different office,
yeah.
So we never have gotten involved in the governance, but it's great.
Because yeah. I did notice, I did look through and look through membership, and it does look like there's, it'll say this unit gets three representatives, and it'll be this unit gets one. I think it's based on unit size.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I was just wondering how they get these numbers, or if the department chair nominates them, or if there's actually a vote. I'm not in that side of the world enough to know.
Mm-hmm. It's probably something we can look into and just get it sent to the bill.
I talked to Jason about this because immediately, you know, I just wanted to learn about it and what the group had already put in place because, you know, I've really been excited about getting out in the community and being involved with EA. And then when we talked about this, I thought, well, if there's already a CALS representative, then why would I go to CALS and try to build energy too? Mm-hmm. And so it was a little bit deflating. And also the idea that if we would make them participate, and if they didn't, then we would have to, you know, appoint someone. And that kind of looks more like we're appointing people than actually building a, you know, a governing body from the ground up. So, you know, I'm less inclined to go that way, although I know the representation is important.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take a group and you have a general election and you say this is the action you have and you get five people from your department, it's not representative of the whole community, but there's five people who really want to be involved in government, and that's, I think, a more of a positive than looking at a department or a unit and saying you don't have anybody after somebody you have to participate, and then who's the it?
Has anybody else thought about, like, we just have an open election for 33 staff members, and then they each get assigned their own unit. So, like, you take those five people that really want to be here. One person takes CALS, one person takes, you know.
I think that that's certainly a possibility. I mean, I think, you know, whatever model we end up with, we should start to be looking at canvassing pockets of campus that we don't cover. The thing that I would say, as I hear you about, you know, even if you have five people from one area invested, the concern that I have with that, because I was one of three people who were here from the same unit last year, and there was a lot of discussion and a lot of drive centered around what that particular unit was going through last year. And, you know, if all of a sudden you've got five members who are all invested in the same way as something, you kind of get that group think.
Right.
So, I, you know, in my mind, is there a way to be able to say, within our bylaws or something, no more than two members from the same unit kind of thing. So, yeah, there could be five people from arts and sciences all over the place, but no more than two people from theater, film, and dance kind of thing.
But how would you start parsing that out? Because under the per unit, arts and sciences is a single unit. Even though it's...
Right, under, but if we were to go to the at-large model where... anyone who wants to run.
No, but I'm just saying, how would you define what a unit, because you just named a department, not a unit.
Right.
So it would be one person from a department or a unit?
Well,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I would say now that we're not even looking at units, so it doesn't matter. But if there were three people who work, like if there were three people in your particular office, not necessarily the hotel school, but your particular office, who were running, that would be... maybe something we'd want to shy away from. I mean, I don't know how other people feel about that. But
I think realistically, if we want 33 people, we're going to have to take anybody who wants to be here. Realistically.
Wow, you tell us. I'm not even sure we can get 19.
Well, we could have had 19 this year. Yeah. We're close. We could have had, I think, 17. You know.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued by your idea, but the only thing I think is I would feel really uncomfortable when you said, all right, let's see, you're in charge of the College of Engineering. Like, I don't even know anybody over there, you know? I mean, and I know
that
okay.
Really promote outreach. I mean, you've been talking about that for years. I mean,
I don't know if everybody feels comfortable. Not everybody, you know, I don't know if everybody would feel comfortable actually going to the HR person and saying that, you know?
But I think we would have to, you know, as we move forward with an election, we would have to say that that's part and parcel of what the expectation is of being on the EA, that you are going to be given a segment of campus.
All right, well, I'm just taking it one step farther since I've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
And saying, you know, we can't even get people to come to the meeting.
Right.
And we've got some new members, you know, that can't even come to the meeting. So, you know, we try to get them to do something additional.
Right.
You know, that's
me
and the devil's advocate. Mm-hmm.
Can I say that at least among the group that at least sounds more plausible to move to the middle, like team model, and then maybe somewhere in our charter do like an exploratory or task force about the increasing it from there?
I mean, I think 19 is a more attainable number in reality.
Mm-hmm. At least for this year.
My question about that has been, okay, we have 6 more people. All right, I guess that's more hands on deck, but I'm kind of like, what? I'm just wondering what we're achieving by changing our charter to, right, 6 more people. You know, because it's a big process for what gain? What, I guess.
Well, maybe we talked about the overall just getting out. What is the EA? And what does the EA do? I mean, that would be to change the overall goal if they talked about just funding. Doing the outreach, if we focus our efforts on more on what is EA and why should you be part of it instead of, you know, what are individual units, you're spreading that message.
I don't know
that.
I agree, but
that's
you know,
yeah.
My
need
being cynical.
But I also think
maybe. Can I say something? That would be the beginning step, maybe. Can I say that? Beginning step to add more air 6 engineer 6 members.
I just wonder how many work is that? You know, I don't know how much. Is there a lot of work the same or changing our charter and that to the 6 members and then we turn around the next year and say we have 6 more? Or, I don't know. Anyway.
All right. How difficult? To say we're going to go 19 next year and then, wow, great, we've got 19, so a year from now we want to go to 25.
I don't think it's just increasing the number of people that are seated in the election at the next.
But like the kind of work behind the scenes of changing the charter is not that big a deal? Or?
The thing that's changing is the number of people as opposed to how it's structured or allocated. That's a pretty simple change.
Yeah.
Which is another, that level of difficulty. Part of it is implementing the change, and another part of it is if you're talking about the ease of getting people into the assembly in terms of the number of constraints. If you have these districts that are defined by what unit somebody's in, then that's a bigger constraint than is the person exempt or not.
I guess maybe even along your lines, maybe we don't even have to do the full 19. I mean, I guess now I can see we can even stagger. So like maybe at the end of spring 11, I guess, I forget, it might be increase the membership to 15. And then the end of next spring 2012, be the 19. I mean, I guess,
and that,
you
and
might
that
be able
may
to
be
make
a better way to do it because then we're kind of keeping that half and half staggering of people transitioning on and off.
But just and then maybe within your concern about doing stuff, maybe we can formally, I don't know what it'll be, like a bylaw or something, like a task force that's in specifically in charge of membership expansion? Because I think what also comes with expanding the EA also comes more responsibilities in defining what responsibilities we as the EA are going to play in the university. And I think we can mirror those side by side when we're expanding. So we're not just expanding for no reason, but we have a reason because we have these agenda items that we want to get done.
I was just going to say that. It's got to be worth it. I think that's what you were trying to say. We can add 6 more people, but they're just sitting here.
Well, and I...
what's the point? You know?
And I think within that, just to tie onto that too, yes, more warm bodies, but I'm thinking that, you know, right now we're really strapped to get people to be able to commit to being on committees and to commit to doing different things, and having some more people may mean that, like right now, you know, I'm the chair and I also chair a committee. It would be great if I didn't do both of those things, that there was another person who was able to step in and do that, and that we could say, okay, you know, David, your committee role is to be on the transportation committee, you know, and we could really staff those things, because right now it feels like there's, you know, by the time you are on the EA and then you serve up chair a committee and then you serve on another committee, you're doing a lot of things. So it would be nice to be able to have more people to fill different roles.
I agree. Mm-hmm. On the idea of staggering the expansion, my only caution is think about how much time we've spent this year just sort of cogitating around do we do it or not. Is that really what we want to continue to spend our time on next year? Do we expand more or do we not? I mean, it feels like let's make a decision. If we can't reach that goal, then we'll do our best. And then we'll continue to try to reach that goal. But if we keep focusing on this discussion, that's all we're going to be about.
I agree.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So would we then, to kind of be able to keep the terms staggering easily, would we appoint some people for 1 year term, electing people to 1 year term next year?
Probably.
22.
Yeah.
Or why can we pin in the charter those dates, though, of expansion?
So make this an official expansion.
Like official expansion from 7. I mean, because I think, I think 33 is a little huge, but I can see the EA as its current role moving up to 25 people in the next 5 years. But if we explicitly say that in the charter, it takes away from the debate whether or not. But if we work more towards the processes and what is the EA going to do, I think those can be, if we know that next year we're going to have 3 more people on the EA, I don't think anybody's going to argue whether we're going to grow or not, but then the conversation might be, what are these new 3 people are going to do and be in charge of? And I think that would be a more valuable conversation than to say, let's try to get people to first.
Can we do something like that in the charter, Ari? Can we build an expansion plan?
Establish the structure.
Sure.
He says definitively.
In a word? Sure.
Well, we can do almost anything in the charter as long as we spell out the right details. And so, but, yeah.
I think Leslie's right, though. We shouldn't waste our time. We should establish the structure, like you're saying, and go for it. And if it takes us years to fill the seats, then at least the structure is there. And we don't waste our time figuring out the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. But which structure?
Well, we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
No. I was which one I want to know.
I think it's important to Dave's point about making sure that whoever we do have here are people who are very passionate about wanting to be here, because if we just get people to fill those seats and then they don't show up and we try to take votes on resolutions and we only have the same core 11 people showing and then we can never get anything done, I think that's going to be a really important consideration.
I think what would help is the rest of RA's recommendation, which is not membership related, but it's function related, which is that we become more of a group that is more active. Like you were talking about, Catherine, that we don't wait until somebody comes to tell us information, but we become more actively involved in the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. And that requires working with Mary in particular, because we're specifically focusing on staff issues, to bring things to us as a part of the decision-making process. so that we become more engaged, which will ideally get more people interested and more people attending. But if we continue to be a body that sits around and wonders how many people we should be, why would anybody want to show up?
And I think one of the other things that we can do as we grow ourselves is that we don't do the work in a full EA meeting, but the committees are more active in their meeting, and maybe there's just a once a month full group meeting. So that the committees are actually doing more work as opposed to this group trying to figure out everything or talk about everything.
Motion to vote. On what?
Yeah, what are we going on?
On which plan?
We should start making these decisions and just getting them out of the way.
Isn't that what you got coffee for?
No. That was for the chair, vice chair thing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we decided last week we were going to vote on a plan.
We kind of did.
So you had to be more specific in your motion about what it is we're voting on.
What do
I motion that we vote on the one of the proposed plans for membership allocation.
Could you propose which one that you're... Which one do you support? So...
Oh, God.
We'll get to Kira.
Well, no, can't we just say all in favor of the first plan, all in favor of the second plan?
Wait, we're only...
You have nine altogether.
Nine here.
Gemma is 10, isn't she?
No, Gemma's 9.
Everyone plus Gemma.
So everyone would have to vote in the affirmative for one plan.
Okay. So
in order to have it passed, correct?
Since there isn't...
Our parliamentarian's not here.
There isn't a motion that has, a substantive proposal yet. It's just sort of two different directions. Charlie Walton is coming here a few times, but I think it would be really helpful to just a straw poll and not a anything on the assembly, but which direction do you want the proposal to go so at the next meeting
great idea.
Okay.
You can have something
concrete. All right. So.
In which case, you also don't need any special majority. It's just
okay, great.
Right.
So, informal straw poll, all in favor of the per unit representation. So, the 33 member per unit. So, David?
I'm not necessarily limited to, all 33 of those people have to be from a specific unit, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying,
well,
three people.
It's either.
So, that's a number that you like.
So wait a minute. So, what we're taking an informal vote on is either the per unit representation or an exempt, non exempt, at large representation, not a number.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would either be interested in the one person from each of these individual units, or are you interested in just more representation, essentially? Could be from anywhere. That's your answer?
Well, I like the per unit representation, but not necessarily from that unit.
Make it difficult.
If everybody gets represented, doesn't matter where you're from.
Oh, so Athens primary elected senator is a delegate person.
Okay, so David is straw poll on his own model.
The David model.
David's going on a hybrid. Okay. Anyone on just the per unit representation? Okay. The exempt, non-exempt, at large.
That's where I'm at.
Okay, so that's the rest of the group here. So, informally, I think when the president's here on Friday, this is kind of the discussion that we should be talking with him more about and see where it takes us.
Well, which one won? I can't see.
Oh, sorry. The exempt, non-exempt, at large model.
Thank you.
Sorry. And Gemma, I can email this to you so you have it. All right. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Anyone?
Oh.
All right. Curtis and Lexi over here.
Just a quick reminder. We should have all gotten invitations for a focus group on Crawford. If you can at all make it, please do. Let me input what you like.
It was a weird invitation because it was a reminder invitation.
You should have gotten the first one.
I didn't get the first one.
Well, that's very strange. You should have gotten the first one, and then she said she only got a few back, so she sent out a reminder.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.